Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. We are 10 lines from the top, the words of Kama Yehei. So we are continuing the discussion about two sukkahs. If you have a smaller sukkah and an upper sukkah, that the lower one would be in puzzle. So the Gemara asks, Kama Yehei bin sukkah la sukkah tehei tachton apsulo. So how much space does there have to be between the schach of the lower sukkah and the schach of the upper sukkah for the lower sukkah to, in fact, be pasul? We know that sukkah tachas sukkah is assuming that there's an existence of two separate sukkahs. So Gemara is wondering, Rashi says, Gemara is wondering how far apart the schach has to be for us to be considered two separate areas. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna tafach. Rav Huna says, even if he has much of a tafach between the two schach layers, that would already make it pasul. If it's less than a tafach, Rashi says, then the two schachs are viewed as a single schach, and therefore it's not going to be pasul. That is the first man to amar. And the Gemara explains, why does he say that? The Gemara says, Shekin matzina bo'ale tuma tefach. We find with regards to the halacha of ohel, with regards to olos, with regards to tuma, that if it's a halacha of a tefach. The sanas we're seeing in a moment, it really should be fixed to, it's not the Bryce, it's really a mishnah. Mishnah olos says, Disnan tefach al tefach berum tefach. If you have an object which is a tefach long by a tefach wide, at the height of a tefach, so let's imagine we have like a wooden plank. Oh, Agav, I don't know if they have these in America, but there's a wonderful sefer called Maros Sukkah. They've been putting it out, Maros Yuma, Maros Sukkah, Maros Irvin. It's been Kol HaLashon, Eretz Yisrael puts it out. I don't know if they've been shipping them to America. They only come out a few days before Daf Yomi in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone loves them. They're wonderful pictures of the whole Masechta. So they have pictures here of all Masechta Sukkah, also nice colored pictures throughout the Masechta. So anyway, they have just a clear picture over here. You have a whole Tevach board, and so your Tevach board is going, spanning the length of width is and over a Tevach. So under this board, you have, if you have under this board, Kezayis min Ames, which is, that's the minimum to be Ohel of a Jew, right? A Jew is Matamba Ohel and not a Goy. So this minimum shear of a Tefach going horizontally, so if you have a board, which is a Tefach wide and a Tefach tall, and it's this, let's imagine it's the longer board and it's a Tefach thick, so then if you have a Kezayis min Ames under one side of it and a Kli on that same, across that board, down, the downwards from it, straight ahead, on the same, under the same line of the board, under that same board, so that's called ohel, it's a minimum share for an ohel, and it'll create tuma. Maybe it's a tuma, and that's the verse thing of maybe it's a tuma, and also, it's chotzes b'pnei ha-tuma. It also can be a barrier that if on top of this plank you have a kli, which is right above the tuma, but the plank is a tefach thick and a tefach long and a tefach wide, so then, if that's the case, then it'll be a chatzitza, it'll be a barrier between the tuma and the kli that is above that board and that beam would be tahor. That is, the Mishnah tells us that. However, if it's less than a tahor of a tefach, it will not bring the tuma, meaning if it's under a tefach and the kezayis min ames is there, but not touching it, and then across that same beam, there is a tohor kli, that kli will remain tohor. However, a kli above that board, that which is less than a tefach tall, and there's tuma below that board, so that would, in fact, that kli above would be tameh. So it's more machmir on the kli that it's above it, but more mekel on the kli that's across from it with regards to tuma. So this is the opinion of Rav Huma, is just bring a raya from the fact that we see tefach is the minimum shear ba'ala tuma, so too over here is the minimum shear for the lachas of sukkah. Now we have another opinion. I think we're going to have three sheetahs. And where it says another opinion of Chista, of Rabba, Rav Huna, Amrei Arba. They say that the lacha is, if there's four tzfachim of space between the schach layers, shalomatzinu makam chashu pachas margo. We don't find anywhere that of significance less than four tzfachim. They're specifically referencing, as Rashi says, they're specifically referencing the concept of Hilchos Shabbos, that with regards to Rishus HaYachid or Carmelis, for Hilchos of Shabbos, an area has to be at least four tzfachim by four tzfachim wide. Any area less than this side is going to be considered a makam tor, and it's going to be batal to whatever area that it was with. If it's Rishus HaRabim, it will be like Rishus HaRabim. If it's Rishus HaYachid, it'll be like Rishus HaYachid. So it's a makam tor, it's not considered a makam chashuv. So minimum four tzfachim is a makam chashuv. Now the Gemara introduces a third shita. We have Shmuel. Shmuel Amar Asara. Shmuel says the lower sukkah is going to be pasul only if there's 10 tefachim between the schachim. What's Shmuel's svara? My time at the Shmuel. What's the reasoning of Shmuel? Kech shira kach psula. The way a sukkah is going to be kosher, the way that it's made kosher, we know the minimum of shira of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. So too, the way that it's going to be pasul and yet should be should be 10 tefachim k'shir chesu gemach, shir basar, just like it has to be kosher, it's to be 10 tefachim high, that's the minimum shir. Af psula basar, so too, the minimum shir of a sukkah also has to be 10 tefachim high, that the upper sukkah has to be 10 tefachim to be considered a real full-fledged sukkah, and therefore, the fact that it's, the Torah tells her, Rashi says, the whole, the psula is sukkah tacha sukkah, so that means that the upper sukkah has to be a full-fledged sukkah. If it's less than 10 tefachim, it's not a real sukkah, then it's not going to be possible according to Shmuel. So the Gemara has a question on Shmuel. The Gemara says Tanan, but we learn in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Ein Diyor Bel Yonah Tachtona Kasher. Rabbi Yehuda says, if there's nobody living in the upper sukkah, there's nobody staying in the upper sukkah, the lower sukkah is going to be kasher. So now the Gemara asks on this, My Ein Diyor, what does it mean that nobody's living in the upper sukkah? Elim, Madiyor Namash, you're going to tell me no one's actually living in the upper sukkah. And that's where Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it's going to be kasher. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that it's kasher in the lower sukkah when there's nobody physically living in the above sukkah. Atu Diyor and Kagarmi, is that really the psul? The fact that people are living there, there's nothing to do with people living there. Rather, what meaning? What's the lower sukkah? It's the fact that there's sukkah tachas sukkah. It doesn't matter if there's people living in it or not. Elav my diurin. What does it mean that there are nobody living there? It means kol she'ein ra'uya ledira. Anything that is not fit for people to live in. Vehichidami. What is the circumstance of Rabbi Huda, which something is unfit to live in? Delo gavo asaras. Seemingly, where the sukkah is not going to be 10 tefachim high. So seemingly, Rabbi Huda would line up very nicely with Shmuel. However, the miklal the tanakama savrachal beishin ra'uya ledira psula. But the tanakama would then be the implication from the Tanakam would be that the lower sukkah is going to be puzzle, even where the upper sukkah is not fit for Dira, and if that's the case, it comes out that Shmuel would be against the Tanakama. And we don't want Shmuel to be against the Tanakama, that's Rechor Abiyud is a Das Yachid, so he doesn't want to be against the Tanakama. So the Tanakama seemingly would hold that this is puzzle, and Rabbi Yehuda would say it's kasher. So this is a problem with Shmuel. So the Gemara says, now, Kiyasar, Dimi, Amar, Amri, Bim Rav, we just heard of Dimi, I mentioned yesterday, right? He was these different memories. So he was quoting what they used to say in Eretz Yisrael, that Rabbi Yehuda's situation, Rabbi Yehuda's case, where he talks about that the sukkah is not Roy Ladira, so what does that mean? It's not fit for Dira. So the Gemara says, it means the following, if the schach covering on the lower sukkah cannot support the pillows and the cushions, upper sukkah, then a tachtona ksher, the lower sukkah is going to be kosher. So why is that? And Rashi explains, because the karmic susas are miyadim l'shena, and since they need to be fit for shena, they need to be fit for sleeping, then it's not going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, wait a second, but michlal the Tanakama sever af abisha in a ruya lekabel psula. That implies that the Tanakama is going to hold that the lower sukkah is going to be puzzle even where it can't support the pillows and the cushions of the upper sukkah. Like, how could that be? Meaning, if we're going to hold like Shmuel says that the kechshira kach psula, the psul is going to be about based on the hechsher. So we should lechora hold that the lower sukkah, even if the upper sukkah were not 10 tefachim tall, according to Shmuel. How could it be that the Tanakama would hold that way? So the Gemara says, no, so the Gemara says, really the Tanakama agrees that the upper sukkah would be possible only where the upper sukkah can have a place that's fit for makom dira. The difference between Tanakama and Rabbi Huda is that the lower sukkah can support the pillows and the cushions of the upper sukkah only in ayadir chak, if you're stuck, like if it's hard to. However, Rabbi Huda is saying that the case is going to be possible, where Rabbi Huda is going to say that it's kosher, and the Tanakama is going to say that is puzzle. So both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda are going to agree to Shmuel's concept that the upper sukkah is going to be puzzle only if it's makom dira sukkah. However, the machlokas over here is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the upper sukkah is not a shame sukkah, even if it's ayideh chak. So therefore, it's not the same sukkah ayideh chak. It's not going to be kasher. The Rishonim just point out this is the Gishmak Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso. All the Rishonim talk about this. The Ritva, the Ran, the Rosh, they all talk about this. They say that Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Beis told us that the reason that above 20 amos is kasher because a sukkah has to be a permanent structure. So Rabbi Yehuda is holding that ayideh chak, the fact that you can be there on this sukkah ayideh chak, is not going to kasher it over here because it's a major problem of it's not a makom keva. It's not a permanent place. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is the top sukkah is totally possible, in which case the lower sukkah is going to be kosher. However, according to Tanakama, no, even ayideh chak is somewhat fit to be in, and you don't need a diras keva for halacha sukkah. So therefore, they're going to be machmir and say that, meaning the upper sukkah is kosher, because ayideh chak you can be there. However, if it's not a day of chak, it's going to be, everyone is going to be puzzled. So just to summarize, there's three halachas. If the schach is very strong and can easily support it, everyone's going to agree that the lower sukkah is going to be puzzled. Even Tanakam would agree that it's puzzled. And where the schach is so weak that it can't even hold it, then everybody's going to agree that it's puzzled. So the shaila is, where it's ayideh chak, Rabbi Yehuda says that in that case the lower sukkah would be kasher because the top sukkah is not called a sukkah, whereas Tanakama hold that it's kasher because the top sukkah is called a sukkah. Just a very important ha'ara in Rashi. Rashi says that what's the whole psul of the tachtona cannot be mekabel karma ksusos. Rashi said, as I mentioned this Rashi, that he basically is saying that it's meant for Shena. So the Achorim ask a question, wait a second. Why does it have to be only Shena? Maybe you can eat there. If I could still eat there, why the fact that I can't sleep there, who cares? If I'm still able to eat there, then maybe everyone should agree that it's kosher. So the Abir Agra answers for this Rashi. He says Rashi must hold like the Mordechai. The Mordechai says, it's quoted halacha by the Rama, that a sukkah which a person is afraid to be in at night, he's afraid to sleep in that sukkah because it's in a dangerous area, then it's going to be puzzle. If you're afraid there's a ganavim or listim, you're not going to be yotzei yedechava even when you're there by day, because it's not fit for usage all the time. It has to be fit for usage all the time. And L'chor Rashi is holding like that also. The fact that you're not able to sleep there means it's not fit for all types of usages. The sukkah needs to be fit for all types of usages. And if it's not, it's going to be puzzle. It's a major shaila with the sukkahs in Manhattan. I know that Rosh Hechter sleep, I'm pretty sure that with YU, they would have a lock on the sukkah that they used to lock it by nighttime to show that meaning, I don't think people were sleeping in that sukkah, but Liyatsir, there were people sleeping. It has to be fit for people to sleep. So how could people feel comfortable to be in the Washington Heights, which is all of Manhattan, is not necessarily the most safest places in Manhattan. Now all of Manhattan is not safe, but it's another point. But either way, so how could you be in there? So I think Rosh Hechter, they suggest putting a lock, because if you have a lock there, then people will not be afraid to be there at night, theoretically, in which case it's not going to be this problem. But I was always wondering that the places in Manhattan that build sukkahs, all these restaurants that build sukkahs, the chora, I'm not sure exactly what their heter is. People would definitely be afraid, especially in Midtown, if they're going to any of these sukkahs, would l'chora be very afraid to be in these sukkahs at nighttime? Okay, that's a very interesting thing. It's a remarkable quote to halacha, something just to keep in mind for sure. If a person lives in an area where he's afraid to be at night, to maybe have a lock or figure out some situation where he would not be afraid to be in that sukkah at nighttime. Okay, so either way, that is the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. Mishnah says, Piris alei asadim ne'achama. If someone put a sheet over the schach because of the sun, so this is going to now be puzzle because you're using a sheet which is not kosher material for the schach. Oh, tachteh bnei anesher, or bnei anashar, that you're afraid that the things are going to fall, like leaves or anything else. You know, that a lot of things fall into your sukkah. So you put something underneath the schach, so then, oh, shapiras al gabe akinif, or you spread a sheet over a bed within a sukkah. So psula, all these cases, and you sleep under that bed, you are not yotze the mitzvah sukkah, that's pasul. All those cases are going to be pasul, because in the first two cases, the reason is that the schach is actually pasul, that the schach itself is a problem. The third case, there you're putting yourself under a canopy, which is a separation between you and the schach, and that's why it's pasul. Avaporisu agabe niktile amita. However, one may spread the sheet over a bed which only has two posters. That is going to be kosher, because at the end of the day, when it comes to this type of bed, as Rashi describes it, that it's not considered halachic ohel. Since it's not a halachic tent, it's not a halachic ohel, that's not considered a chatitza between you and, because it doesn't have the surface of at least one tefach wide, and it's not going to be a shir of an ohel, and therefore, since it's not a shir of an ohel, there's not considered a chatitza between you and the schach. So therefore, it's considered as if you're still sleeping the schach, and that would not be an issue. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chista. So Rav Chista said, Lo shanu el bnei hanashar, that they told us halacha only with regards to that if there's leaves or stuff falling, that's when it's going to be pasal val. No sakshira. But if someone put things under the schach in order to decorate the sukkah, that would not be a problem. The whole issue is that when it comes to a sheet, that's reasons for protective reasoning, and therefore it's going to be halachically schach, and it's going to be pasul schach. However, if you're doing it lenoy sukkah, you're using it for purposes of making the sukkah nice, then it's not going to be the halachic status of schach. It's just there to be there to decorate the sukkah, and therefore it's not going to pasul the sukkah. So it says the Gemara, pshita, that's obvious that if it's noy sukkah, it shouldn't be a problem. Yeah, not sure to know, the Mishnah says specifically it's there because of protecting you from having, you have it there because you don't want the leaves to fall on your sukkah. So obviously, then things that are there for making the sukkah nice should totally be kosher. So says the Gemara, so ma'od disema, what would I have said? Hu adinda filu len osa. Without Rav Chista, I would have thought that even a sheet that spread for the case of making the sukkah nice should be pasul. What do you usually put things there? Not to decorate a sukkah, but you use it. People generally would want to prevent things from falling in their sukkah. That makes sense. That's the general way of the Mishnah. And then Kamash Monsurfgasa is in fact needed to teach us that when it comes to noy sukkah, to the purposes of decorating the sukkah, that would be kosher. As opposed to putting it for to Nea Nashar, the things are falling down, that would be pasul. Says the Gemara, Leima Messiah Aleph. So should we bring a proof from the Breisa? For Reb Chista, Sikra Kelcha, so someone covered the Sukkah, Kelacha, and so it has all dimensions of Schach. So that says the Gemara, then v'itra b'karmin v'sadin mitzyorin. You decorate it with colored cloths and different type of linens. V'tala b'gozin shkedim forsaken remonim, or hung it with nuts, almond, peaches, or pomegranate. Some people, that there's some beautiful, the people make the chains and all these different things. Some people will dafka make the things over here that are mentioned in this brisa that mentioned nuts and almonds, peaches and pomegranates, things dina of the Gemara to use to decorate the sach. It's an interesting thing. Perchila navim v'atara shel shibolim, or clusters of grapes or grain. Yenos or shmanim v'tzlasos, or if you have wine or you put oil or flour, all under the sukkah. Asur la istapek behem. You're not allowed to use them all ad motzei yom tov achron shel chag until the night after, meaning even after Shmini Atzeres. You're not allowed to use them until Shmini Atzeres. They're mukta because they're part of the sukkah. They're usher because they are having designated part of the sukkah, and therefore they're going to be usher. We mentioned yesterday is that potentially the raisa, the rabbanan, maybe this noy sukkah should be different. That's all shaila. But those are just bothered. Why isn't it going to be mutter to use them already on Shmini Atzeres? Why is it a problem? So those are quote, maybe because in Shmini Atzeres, Bein HaShmashas, if you want to eat, you still have to eat in the sukkah. And then we have a concept called Migo Diskatzeh, LeBein HaShmashas, Katzeh LeKuli Yomah, that once something's mukta already from the beginning of Bein HaShmashas, from twilight period, so then already the whole day it's going to be mukta. Tosos get into the Arichos over here, the long Tosos of the Raska Ad, a very interesting Tosos. But either way, so the Gemara says that this is going to be mukta until after Shmini Atzeres. However, if you made a Tanai about these noy sukkah that you want to use them, hakolaf itzno, everything is going to follow your tanai. And the Gemara Beitza tells us that that if you say that you're saying that the owner says that if you're not, you're, the owner is saying that I'm not mevatel my das, not mevatel my right to use it during the Bein HaShmashas period of the first night of Yom Tov, and therefore it doesn't become migo diskatzel for the mitzvah, and I can make a tanai to tell me that if I wanted to use them or touch them, that I would be able to. So the Gemara says, Dilma minatzah, but wait a second. So this is a proof that Lechora, this is right, that Noi Sukkah is not invalidating the Sukkah, not passing the Sukkah. So the Gemara says, no. Maybe the Braisa is talking about where these Noi Sukkah, these nice decorations, are on the side of the Sukkah, on the walls, not from the Schach. Says the Gemara, okay, so the Gemara brought over there. Now the Gemara says, Itmar, we have a related statement. Says the Gemara, Noi Sukkah, in Matin B'Sukkah. When it comes to Sukkah decorations, they're not going to reduce the height of a Sukkah. Meaning, if I have a 20 Amos, exactly 20 Amos, so it's Pasal, 20 Amos Sukkah, and now I have my Noi Sukkah, so maybe I should be able to low, it should view it as if it's lower now, even though it's not really part of the Schach, it's Batal to the Schach, but it's still, maybe I could assume that it's less than 20 Amos, so it should be Kosher. So says the Gemara, no, it's not going to be that. In Matin B'Sukkah. And so says the Gemara, Maravashi minatzad matin. However, from the sides, they would reduce the sukkah's width, meaning if we know that the sukkah has to be exactly 7 tvachim is the minimum shear for a sukkah on the width. So if I have 7 tvachim on the width, and then I put these nice decorations to make it lower than 7 tvachim, then it's going to be puzzle. So it is going to be a problem on the minimum shear on the width. Why is that? Because Rashi explains, because here is the problem of the fact that it's just a metzias that I have to be able to sit in it. And most of my body and my head on the table is not able to sit in anything less than 7 tvachim. That's what Chazal told us. So the moment I make it less than 7 tvachim, there's no more room for me to sit in it properly. However, when it comes to the 20 amos shear, that's a different halacha. A different halacha is 7 20. We saw three different reasons based on the Gemara and Daf Beis. But it's a different reason why 20 amos is a problem. So therefore, less than 20, it will not make it as if it's viewed as less than 20 amos, and it would still be a problem. So that says the Gemara, Minyamin Avdei Deravashi. Minyamin was the name. His name was Minyamin. Like, Rav Binyamin, but not his name. Minyamin Avdei Deravashi. He was a servant of Ravashi. So his shirt got very wet. It was soaking. So he put it on top of the sukkah to dry it off. It was very sunny, I guess. And he put it on top of the sukkah. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, "Dalia de lelimnelu kamsach b'devar makabel tuma." He says, "Can you remove it so people don't think that this using the schach as this shirt is going to be kosher for schach?" I'm going to look at the gadol ador Ravashi. He is the Rav Chaim Kadeski of the door is using a shirt as a schach. It must be that a shirt is kosher. But wait, he responded. He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Everyone sees that the shirt is wet." So he says, "L'chiyav shekamin alach." Ravashi responded, "No, I meant to tell you, obviously, only to care remove it before it dries." So the Gemara here is telling us that the status of a sheet that it's first. So this is a very important machlokas, actually. I think it's machlokas Rishonim. That when it comes to the machlokas Rishonim is that we saw already, the Gemara discussed if you're using anything for protection or for nasha, for falling leaves, for all these other purposes, that would pass a sukkah. But what if I'm just putting something on top of the schach, which is for the own benefit of the thing itself, meaning I want it to dry. I want the shirt to dry. So lechor, if I only want the shirt to dry, maybe that shouldn't pass the schach at all. So many want to bring a raya from this gemara, lekula, that Ravashi allowed the shirt would not pass the schach that's below it, because at the end of the day, all you want the shirt for is to dry, so it's not going to pass the schach below it, and apparently it would not be a problem. Others want to reject the raya, but it's a fascinating shiloh over here. With regards to this point, whether putting something for the purpose of itself to dry or something like that would invalidate the schach below it. So the Gemara now says, Itmar, we learn also another statement, Noi sukkah meflugagim menu arba. If you have sukkah decorations which are spreading out below the schach, below more than me'arba, more than four tfachim, Rav Nachman amar kshir, Rav Nachman said it is kasher, and Rav Chista, Rav Huna amar psula. Rav Chista and Rav Huna say that it's pasul. So this is actually fascinating, because they hold anything of more than four tefachim is viewed as different than the schach above it, and therefore it's going to be possible in any area below it. And this is a major issue. I don't think people realize that when they make those chains or things like that in the sukkah, you have to be careful that they don't go more than four tefachim. It's a shaila exactly what area is going to be possible and things like that. But lechora, there might be some major issues with making it go below four tefachim, below the schach. But either way, that is a shaila. So Rav Chista, Rav Huna, Iku Levei Reish Galusa. Rav Chista and Rav Huna, they visited the Reish Galusa, right? The Reish Galusa was like the most chashuv position. And this was on Sukkis, right? The Reish Galusa was the head of all of Galus Bavel. So he had at some points he had to be able to kill people. He had a very, very strong position. So even by the government, the non-Jewish government. Rav Nachman, who was looking over the sukkah, he saw that the decorations were more than ten tefachim from the schach. And Rav Nachman, as Rashi points out, he was the Av Beis Din, and he was very chashuv, so if he really had a problem with it, he would have said something. So he let the sukkah be, because he didn't have an issue with it. He held his to the kasher. So the people of Rav Chista and Rav Huna, who held that this is pasul, they didn't say anything, and they presumably ate in the sukkah. They were in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahu. So the fact that Rav Nachman saw that they held its pasul and they didn't say anything in the Reish Galusa's house. So he said to them, "How did Bahu Rabbanim Mishma Ma'isu? Have you gone back on your halachic?" What you said before, that with regards to four tefachim will invalidate the schach of the sukkah. And Rulei, no, they responded to him, Ana shluchim mitzvah anan. We're in the midst of doing a mitzvah. Rashi says, which mitzvah are they doing? They're lahakba p'nei rosh gola, b'chayiv adam lahakba p'nei rabba b'regel. That's a chiyuv, is to lahakba p'nei rabba b'regel. And Rashi says, and this is also what we're going to learn, a famous gemara over there, about shluchim mitzvah term of sukkah, because osik b'mitzvah patim in a mitzvah. When one is engaged in one mitzvah, that's a shiloh. The Ritva says even usher. It's mamish usher to engage another mitzvah. All right, I'm putting on my tefillin right now, and something comes up, and the person wants me to go, whatever it might be, to do another mitzvah, so that I'm going to go give tzedakah right now. I'm literally putting on the tefillin shaliyad. That's ozik mitzvah. I'm not allowed to go put down the tefillin and go do another mitzvah. So that's ozik mitzvah patim in a mitzvah. So here too. So they were part of the, however, if I'm able to do both and not mibavatal them, that's a shiloh. That's where I'm able to do both easily. We'll go with that easily, because Machlokas is the famous Machlokas Ran and Dosas. We're not getting into that right now. But if I'm able to easily get in, if I'm easily able to do both mitzvahs, then I do have a chiyuv to do both mitzvahs, or at least I should try to do both mitzvahs. So here, they said that we're doing a mitzvah, and therefore we're patur v'nasukah, as Rashi explains. So just the Chalkas Yoav, one of the big achronim, he says, I don't understand how the Nodi Behuda, held that the halacha of Mahakka Pani Rabba Baregel doesn't apply bizmanazah, because it only was existed when Beis Hamikdash was kaim, that you're going to see Akash Baruch Hu, and then it's only fitting to go see your Rebbe. But he says that now you're going to go only see your Rebbe, it's like an insult to Akash Baruch Hu. There's no visiting Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash, so how could it be they're going now? It's a nice svara, but this says based on the Rashi, it's against the Beferish Gemara over here. Rashi says that he went to go visit Rav Nachman and Rav Chista and Rav Ravuna were going to visit their Rebbeim on Sukkis, which was the Hakka B'nei Rabba B'regel, and that's clearly after the Chorban Abayis. So he says Beferish Gemara over here that this would apply afterwards. It's a very good question. I'm not sure what the Nodi Buddha would do with this Gemara. And also another point over here that the Ritva is bothered by. So the Ritva is bothered by, he says, he discusses, he says that, wait a second, Rav Nachman didn't say anything until the beginning, and then it, like only afterwards did he ask them, did you guys go back in Roshita? Why didn't Rav Nachman say something beforehand that was problematic for them, to stop them from going in such a sukkah? Maybe they were going to make a bracha. He didn't know they were shluchim mitzvah. He didn't know that they held that they were doing a mitzvah right now. So the Ritva answer is, one answer is that maybe that if a person has something which is mutter to him, then he can give it to someone else, even though the other person holds that it's usher. But then the Ritva really goes back, and the Ritva says, maybe only if you tell them. It's a big nafkamina, though. If you have something that's usher for another person, let's say you heard of a certain hechsher, you're totally fine, and that hechsher is mamish okay, your rebbeim all told you it's okay, and there's a guy coming, a very firm guy, and you tell him everything is totally kosher, and he trusts you, he says everything is totally kosher, but you know for sure he doesn't hold that hechsher. So if you would tell him, then he probably wouldn't need it. So that is the shayla. L'chora, according to the Ritva's maskana over here, l'chora, he suggested maybe that you don't have to tell him, but l'chora, in the maskana, you would have to tell him. It's a very big shayla in general. Either way, they'd probably be uncomfortable also, so maybe just avoid, you should probably not do that anyway for shalom bias if you ever found out. But either way, that's what the Gemara comes out over here. Now the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Avita Mar Shmuel. So we learn, we're discussing further, if you have a OL inside of a sukkah. That it's mutter for a person to sleep under a kila canopy around his bed in a sukkah. Even though this kila has a type of roof, it's still going to not be a problem. Why? Because it's less than 10 tefachim from the bed, it's not its own ohel. Rashi holds that as long as it's not 10 tefachim from your bed, above it, that's going to be fine. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. He holds that the 10 tefachim should be measured from the ground. That's what the Mishnah Berurah wants to hold. He holds that it's 10 tefachim from the ground, that should be a problem. So the famous Shaila, the trivial question, how could you have two people sleeping under the same exact bed? One is Yotzei Sukkah, and one's not Yotzei Sukkah. So the answer is that one is sleeping under the shir, he holds like the Chazad Ish, he's sleeping under its pachas, for it's pachas ten tefachim of the shir chazanish. The other person holds like the grach noah, so he's sleeping on the same exact bed, but it's more than ten tefachim according to the grach noah, so it's possible he wasn't yotzisuk. Okay, that's a nice trivia. So the Gemara says now, so tashmas, we learn in a brisa, hayashin bekila, so basuka lo yotze de chavasa. So the Gemara wants to reject this ruling of Shmuel by saying that someone who sleeps under kila is not going to be yotze. So the Gemara answers, Shmuel answers, I'm asking, no, what are we discussing? Kishav gavoa asar, we're talking about the canopy, is ten tefachim tall. So the Gemara says, well, wait, meseve, we get another question on Shmuel from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Yashin tachas amita basuka leyotze, someone who sleeps under a bed in a sukkah isn't going to be yotze. So the Gemara says, Hatagam Shmuel b'mita gavos. No, Shmuel already told us that Mishnah is talking about a bed that's 10 tefachim tall. So why have a question on him? So the Gemara says, Tashma. So another proof from the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Oshapiris gabi kinyufas psula over. He spread a sheet over the four. They have four different edges of the bed. Above those four edges, like a type of posts on the side, you could put above it a sheet. If you do that, it's also possible. So the Gemara says, also hasam namigvarasir that we're talking over there, where these posts are below 10 tefachim tall, and they're not going to be 10 tefachim. So we answer for Shmuel. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, the Braisa doesn't say that. The Braisa says the following. Desani, we learn in the Braisa, Naktilin Shnaim. If you have Naktilin, that's considered two different posts, two different bed posts. However, Kinofis is Arba. The Kinofis is considered a four bed posts. So, Pirus, Agabe, Kinofis, Psula. If someone spread a sheet over Kinofis, it's going to be possible. Agabe, Naktilin, Kshir, but over Naktilin, over the area which is only two posts, it's not going to be bed posts, not an issue. Vaj, Loye, Naktilin, Gavon, Minamita, Astar, provided that Naktilin do not rise 10 Fachim above the bed. Bichal, the Kinofis, it follows the implication that the kinofas, even if they're not 10 tefachim tall, should be a problem. And again, this is a very problematic according to Shmuel. So the answer is no. Shani kinofas tikvi, the kinofas are different since they're in the ground strongly, and therefore, even if it's not 10 tefachim, Shmuel would agree that when it comes to the kinofas, it's like it's kavua, it's an oel, even if it's less than 10 tefachim tall. So if it's very secure, apparently. So that's what Shmuel is going to agree to that halacha. So the Gemara asks, "Harei sukkah gabe sukkah dekviyeh." But when a case of a sukkah above a sukkah, which is very strongly in place, Amar Shmuel k'shechirah k'sula, Shmuel said, "But what do you mean? If it's not 10 tefachim above it, then the lower sukkah is going to be kosher." Apparently, Shmuel requires this height even when dealing with a permanent structure of the sukkah above the other sukkah. So the Gemara answers again, not a problem for Shmuel. Amrei also the milasel sukkah basar. There, they're talking about whether we should passel a sukkah. We're going to say that the upper sukkah has to be 10 tefachim. Hacha de l'shave ola. Here, we're just discussing, is something an oel? Is it a halachic oel? Is it a halachic tent? Is it a halachic something that's going to be a chatita between you and the sukkah? So basar masar nami havelo. No, yeah, if it's something which is chashav and permanent, even if it's less than 10 tefachim. Shmuel is going to say that it's a lachik tent, it's a lachik structure, which would be a barrier between you and the schach, and therefore be puzzle. So the Gemara now quotes another halacha of Shmuel. Amar of Tachlif that Ravim Amar Shmuel, Yashan Bekila Aram. Someone who sleeps, he's naked with a kila, Motzin Rosho Kutza Kirva Korak Shmer. He can put out his head out of this kila and say Kriyat Shmer. So here there's a concept of Lo Yerecha Ebas Davar, that there's a concept of Libo Roas Ha'erva, that if your heart sees your nakedness, so to speak, that even if a person is wearing pants, let's say, pants is not a good example, our pants is a problem. If you're wearing a robe without it being buckled, so then there's a concept called Libo Roas Ha'erva, that your heart sees your nakedness. This is even possible to say to go back and say Kriyat Shmer B'Di'Avad even again. Well, maybe not Birchas Kriyat Shmer, but to say Kriyat Shmer again if you accidentally did this. So here the Chiddush is that you can put out your head outside of the canopy and it's not considered of your libo and your face is in one area, and it's not going to be a problem of libo roas ha'erva. And Rashi just points out, if it's going to be important for the Hemshech of the Gemara, that if this kila was something that was considered its own full-fledged ohel, then we would say that you're batal your head to your body, because really you're going, your head should be nigra after your whole body, and your body's in a chashev place, then it should be a problem. The fact that a kila is not permanent, that's why it's not a problem over here. So the Gemara says, basically we have a question though. Yashem b'kila arum, the Brisa seems to say explicitly not this way, that you can't say Kriyat Shema in this circumstance. The more answer is asar, where the canopy is 10 tefachim tall, and therefore it's a full-fledged ohel. Shmuel would agree in that case, as we just mentioned. If something is chashuv and fully intact, then according to Shmuel, that would be a major issue. However, if something is less than 10 tefachim, it's not considered, you can't just say that your head is going to be buttled to an area that's less than 10 tefachim, so it's as if you're in a different rishus for the purpose of Kriyat Shema, but it's not in the fact that your head will go after it because you're in a different rishus. So the Gemara says, this actually makes sense. Midiktani Sefer, because the Emshech of the Braisa says, Halamazadoma, what is it similar to? Omed Beis Aram, someone is standing naked inside the house, where the lach is, he should not stick his head out of the window and say Kriyat Shema. So the Braisa is comparing the case of the kila of the canopy that to the case of a bias, which is a ohel. So seemingly we're talking about a full-fledged ohel, which is 10 tefachim. So we know this is actually a good proof for Shmuel. Okay. So when it comes to a house, also, it's not going to, even if it's not 10 tefachim tall, kevan de kviya olahu, since it's a fixed structure, it's considered olah, and therefore you can't say Kriyat Shema even if it's less than 10 tefachim. De lo garma kinofes, a house is no worse than the lachas of kinofes, which is considered a semi-permanent structure, so therefore a house is also going to be considered a major issue. Even if it's less than 10 tefachim, you would not be allowed to write Kriyat Shema, because your head is going to be nigrar after your body. Your body is considered in the house, even if it's less than 10 tefachim. Okay, we'll pick up with Lishna of Krina Bez Hashem tomorrow's daf.